ain't the kind to wear a tie. Button up to 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. I'm not always polite, but I get the job done. Who says that work can never be fun? I'm simply unprofessional.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. It's the 100th episode. All right, so I'm in Discord with a bunch of people right now, and I have them deafened. They think we're getting on to play a game, at least two of them. I kind of broke the surprise to two of them as well. They think we're playing our Vampire the Masquerade game that we play every week, but I'm going to pop in on this Simply Unprofessional episode, so I'm going to undeafen. They're not going to know what's going on, so bear with us, and then I'll break the news to them. It'll be a sad day for them. What's up, guys? All right, where is everyone? Why is everybody else muted now?
I'm not.
All right.
I am now. Not now.
Is Devin back yet? I'm going to take that as a no. Is Donnie there? He's just muted.
He's a mutant.
He's muted, yeah.
Donnie's a mutant. Well, I mean, it's kind of premature without Donnie here. Cough, cough.
Premature. Premature.
God damn it, Austin. You know what? You just get your own apartment, you live it by yourself, and you think you could just say anything, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Shit. Well,
I mean, you can.
Shit, wow. Dick.
What? Calm down over there.
Fucking shit. Cunt.
Whoa, whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. All
right.
Eggquist, you're here though, right?
Yep.
All right. Now, keep in mind, Austin, Craig is still recording this.
Hey, what's up, you fucking bitch, Craig?
Oh, man.
Come to my apartment.
I'm back.
There's Donnie.
Hey, and Don.
Do we have a Devin? My
brother just got home, so I was talking to him.
Hey, Sean.
He can't hear you.
Hey, Sean.
Is Devin still in a match? Well, we'll start without Devin. Because he's not muted, I just don't know where he is. And I'm hearing myself through one of you.
Let me try to mute and make sure it's not me. Hang on.
It's probably you.
It's probably me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
No.
Actually, it might be Eggquist.
That's what? Right.
What? Actually, I'm coming through your headset, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I might be leaning too close.
Nah. I think it's Austin. I think I'm just coming too loud through his phone, and it's coming back through the speaker.
Is now? I've been going through a headset too now.
Well, not now. Anyway, so I have a I told you guys I had a little bit of a surprise for you this evening.
You said big surprise.
Okay, I told you guys we have a big surprise for you this evening.
Yes.
So we're gonna kick it off. I've already did the intro, guys. I'm sorry, we're not gonna be playing Vamp tonight. Instead,
right.
Okay.
We are recording the 100th episode of Simply Unprofessional together.
Okay. What's up, guys?
I like how Edquist is like, yeah. That show that, you know, I used to be on all the time, and, you know, whatever.
I was on the episode previous to this.
Webby.
What's up?
I refuse. Hi, guys. I'm Austin, and I'm playing Max.
Shepard teleports to Max and pushes his head so far down his spine it pops out his ass and Max dies. Moving on. Simply unprofessional now.
Can I take back my answer?
Nah, no. No takes backsies.
I wanna record Simply.
So guys, I figured, okay, I've been racking my mind with what to do for the 100th episode. Okay, I've been thinking about this. I've asked some of you guys about this. I've mentioned it. I wanted to do something kind of special, you know, because every week it's majority of the time it's me and Devin recording on, you know, I won't say what day we record on, Thursday night. For a
That's
Friday
just before release,
yeah, oh, for a Friday morning release,
Thursday night, like 3 weeks in advance, right?
Oh yeah, of obvious backlog. Obviously, yeah. We're so far ahead. I figured, well, you know, what other times do I really get to have, you know, a good grouping of people? Because, you know, Mondays we get together, we play Vamp. Every other Tuesday we get together and play D&D. You guys are pretty busy. Donnie works fucking third shift throughout the week, you know. So I figured, well, you know, I'll talk to Devin and I'll see what he thinks about this. And he was on board. And he didn't really know until earlier today. But then he was on board. And I figured, well, 100th episode, I'm going to bring you guys on, have a pretty good crowd, and we're going to get back to basics. Now, what I mean by back to basics is I know Devin enjoys talking about this, and I'm fairly certain Donnie has a slight interest in this at least. But in the earlier episodes of Simply Unprofessional, and even in Tavern Talk, I think we probably even did it more in Tavern Talk when we were Tavern Talk, and it might have been one of like the first episodes we did, is talking about D&D. Just, that's how kind of this whole thing started. You know, we all started meeting each other through D&D, with the exception of probably, you know, Austin and Donnie, obviously. But we all met each other through D&D, and, you know, we all talk about, you know, character creation stuff. I know me and Devin talk for hours, either whether it be D&D or Vampire the Masquerade, about the lore, the backgrounds, you know, how we want to build different characters. Devin has a literal vault of characters stashed away. And we always give him shit because he's just like, well, I really want to play that other character that I made, you know, 8 months ago that I've been, you know, polishing up for the past 8 months. So we keep making the joke that he wants to kill off all of his characters so he can play his other characters.
I was just going to say, and then I've been polishing it for 8 months, play it for 3 weeks, and then kill it off.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I say I want to talk about D&D, I want to have a general discussion. Just what, I mean, whatever we want. I do have some questions that I pulled off the internet, and then there were two questions that were asked on the Simply Unprofessional Facebook that aren't necessarily D&D related. But the reason I just kind of want to have a general discussion is, for those of you who don't know, before Simply Unprofessional, we were Tavern Talk. Before Tavern Talk, before we even started this podcast, this was something that Austin really inspired me to do. And Austin, I can't thank you enough for putting this thought in my head to do this, and then just helping me keep everything going.
No need to thank me. Maybe I did give you the initial idea, but you fucking ran with it. So,
the initial thought when me and Austin first started talking about this is just literally having a platform where we could get on and just talk about whatever the fuck we wanted to talk about. And, you know, if we wanted to come on 1 week and just talk about D&D. And just literally shoot the shit. Just get on, have a conversation about some stuff, record it, put it out as content. And then we've kind of done some polishing, you know, and fine-tuning to it to get a little bit of a, I guess, a format. Not much of one. And then in the earlier days, I even did some editing. Not so much now. In fact, now that Devin earlier had showed me, you know, several episodes back, that I don't even have to edit the intro music and outro music anymore into the episodes. I can literally just play them, and my OBS will record that. I don't edit anything now. So, thank you, Devin. You're a lifesaver. We wanted a platform where we could just get on and just talk about whatever the fuck we wanted to talk about, and no one could tell us not to. you know? And I really enjoyed that thought because especially at that time I was going through, you know, a really rough patch and I just, there were things that I wanted to talk about. If you want to know more about that, I'm sure it'll come up in a future episode, but you can go listen to me and Devin's episode on the suicide forest in Japan. I went pretty in depth with some stuff. That wasn't a typical Simply Unprofessional episode. We did crack some jokes, but it was a relatively more serious and down to earth episode. And it was very well received. And I thank all of you listeners for support and whatnot. But yeah, so that was pretty much the history of Simply Unprofessional. Yay. Now on to D&D.
So Gary Gygax was a man.
No, we're not going to get into the history of D&D.
Oh.
Listen, if you don't know what for those of you who don't know what D&D is, it's Dungeons & Dragons. It's a tabletop role-playing RPG, okay? I highly recommend it. I will say that since I've been playing it since early high school, like freshman year in high school, maybe even late middle school, I dabbled with it. So you're talking, 20 years, something like that, maybe more. I started playing second edition D&D. I fucking hated it. I mean, there are a lot of things in second edition that I really loved, but not Thaco, man. I really did not like Thaco. but yeah, it helps a lot, in my opinion, with breaking down social barriers.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when Austin first invited me to kind of join the podcasting group as a member of the pack, Jax was a very... I made Jax, and he was a very quiet member of the group because me as a player was very quiet. I was very nervous almost every single session we sat down on because I was a fan of these guys' shows and podcasts before I joined them. So it's essentially you get to sit down with some people that you've been listening to every week, you know, for X amount of time, and then all of a sudden now you're sitting down with them playing this game. And hey, that was what, fucking like 2-3 years ago? I don't know now. That was a while ago. And now we joke about Austin being a horse fucker. Austin, you started that,
by the way. Joke about.
Yeah. Quote unquote joke about. He does have a very odd infatuation with the Kentucky Derby. I will say that.
I've been over here making the best joke.
And you've been muted the whole time.
And I've been muted, yes.
Well, you did start that. I went back and I listened to the episode and that was all you
did. I did. I definitely did.
So
just like I started the $100,000 dick sucking thing.
Yep.
But to bring it back to a serious moment real quick, I want to say that the whole time, how long have I been podcasting? Like 5 years, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the 5-year anniversary is coming up. The whole 5 years doing Dungeons and Distractions First, Distractions Media, the greatest decision that I've ever made for this company was asking you to be part of the pack. I just want to, I want you to know that.
I don't understand why, but I appreciate
you're the only person on this call that doesn't understand why then.
No.
Am I wrong, guys?
I bet you Devin doesn't know.
Devin.
See?
What?
Oh, see? Exactly. My man.
He's not even listening. That's not.
Devin's got my back. And Aquist is over here. Aquist is over here saying, "Fuck that! I do a lot more than this fucking asshole."
Yeah.
Shit. Well, hell no.
Aquist, the second one, was having you on.
I was really
I agree with Austin. No.
I was really, really into my bagel because I had it ate all day. So what was the question? I'm sorry.
I told Webby that the best decision I've ever made for this podcast was asking him to be part of the pack. And he said he doesn't understand.
I don't understand why.
No, and I would agree.
Yeah.
Damn it.
No, yeah. I would agree with that for one reason and one reason only. Because if you went on this podcast, I'd be in the, I'm in the, I wouldn't be on this podcast.
Maybe.
Well, no, I would have quit a while ago. Meanwhile, you made a pack. I can't quit until he quits. So,
and I can't quit until you guys fire me.
Are you guys talking about quitting?
I can't. I'm not allowed to. You guys literally won't let me. I've
tried. And Webby can't quit. He only can be fired. So you have to fire Webby, and then I'll quit. That's literally how this works.
All right. So it's a 2-for-1. 3-for-1. I'm going too if y'all go. Fuck it.
What I really am trying to say here, Austin, is I know a guy who's selling a horse real cheap.
What'd you say? You cut out a little bit.
I know. I can get you a horse for nothing. I know a guy who's just giving one away. You want a horse?
Webby.
I'll drive it down.
Inside joke. Webby, inside joke, me and you. I got a horse guy.
I got a horse.
Am I the horse guy?
You know what? You are now. Hold on. I actually have to write that down.
Austin the horse guy. I didn't start this one.
No, but I am writing that down.
I'm the horse guy.
Are
you going to put that in the show notes? You know what I mean?
Austin. Okay, cool.
I guarantee you that's going to come up at some point.
It will. So, Donnie, you've been kind of quiet here.
Sorry, I have stuff in my face.
That's fine.
Donnie? That's what I'm saying, man.
You and I met through D&D, technically.
Uh-huh.
Right? When did me and you meet?
Meet? Well, I first found my love for you listening to the pack, but after that, I think it was the Star Wars game, right?
We did the Star Wars before 300, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right.
And then technically D&D, but you know,
roleplay RPGs.
Oh yeah.
And then Mr. Edquist, you literally bribed your way onto the podcast, and now none of us want to see you ever leave.
I bought my way on, yes.
Yes.
And ironically, now I have no money.
We took everything from Edquist.
I love the fact that he donated to be on one episode, and he just never left.
He just claimed squatter's rights on our podcast. I don't know how that works.
He did. He just put his foot down and was like, nah, I'm not done. I have more story to tell.
I mean, I did do the narrated episodes first before that. But then I did pay to actually be a character on Fate.
And then with distractions, Edquist literally wrote me an email, or maybe it was a Facebook message. I don't remember. He's like, hey,
pros and cons of him being on.
No, he's like, hey, I have this idea for a character, and he sent me all of Tripp's background, a whole background story, and it was very in depth and very well done. And he's like, so if you ever have kind of room on the podcast, I'd love to join. And I was like, this fits so well. I literally cannot say no. So
let me tell you how. Edquist, do you care if I tell them the other podcast?
No, that's fine. But let me just one more thing for Tripp. I also could, because at the time you guys were playing 4E, I had created a whole thing of powers for Tripp for 4E, and then Levy was like, switch into 5E.
That makes me just really wanted you to be like, now that it makes me really want you to be like, when you, like, I want to see you like read the note and be like, oh yeah, that's not a bad idea. Good luck in your future endeavors.
Well,
cast it aside.
What Edquist doesn't know is when he mentioned, he's like, yeah, I got the character all built for 4E or whatever. When I told him, yeah, we're switching to 5E, that was me trying to let him down gently. And then he's like, well, I can convert it all. It's like,
Okay.
All right. So
the first I think email I ever got was Edquist was the same exact thing. Was a character made up for the pack. And he had three or four pages of backstory.
Four pages, yeah.
Yeah, for a character that in the pack that essentially he destroyed like Koom Boom, or he was with some bad werewolves, or he knew bad werewolves or something. I think it was something like that. Right, Edquist?
Yeah, like the guy that you guys ended up fighting early on, the evil werewolf had killed my family, so I had become a werewolf hunter, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he wrote me that. We have five on the pack, and I went to Rob and showed him the thing. I was like, this guy, he put in all this effort to this thing. If he can't join, which I understand, at least try to make this guy an NPC. And Rob took the backstory and he was going to do it, but we never got back there. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how it happened. And then after that, he also pitched a character for Zedan to me, I think, which he eventually got into Zedan. He played the,
I also sent you one for Star Wars.
Yes, the Star Wars one. You sent Killian for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we also had plans, which I don't know that we're ever going back, but I had made, this was after I was already part of Distractions, though.
No.
Okay.
Just in case. Let me get this straight. Edquist's approach is to just throw everything at every podcast we had, and hopefully one of them would stick.
Yep. So now you don't feel special anymore, do you, Webby?
I mean, I still feel special because Austin invited me. He singled me out.
No. I meant from Equus side for you.
This feels everywhere. Less and less, yeah.
Well, no, it's like, because what it is I listen to the story.
I feel like
Miramax
all of a sudden.
I feel the same way. I think I have characters for every game I'm not in, but
yeah,
doesn't mean I'm actually going to ever.
I still create.
If I'm not in a game, there's probably a good reason why I'm not in that game. That's the best way to put it.
You know what I have zero character? You know what game I have zero backup characters for?
What?
Fate.
Abraham?
No. Fate. Zero backup characters.
Well, Fate's ending this year anyway, so.
It is?
Yeah, this is our last year.
I knew that.
I didn't. I mean, he's probably said that, but I thought this was just like, I thought he just was like, oh yeah, you know, the season finale or whatever is coming up. It's like, last, oh, all right.
Yeah.
It's last season of, like, the new Saint City thing. Fate.
Yeah,
like,
it's the last episode, it's the last year of Fate of Heroes, but then it's going to become like Fate of something else. So we're not going to have the same characters anymore.
Well, yeah. I'm glad I have zero backup characters for this game.
And then there's one more season of Vendetta Effect, and that's over too.
Motherfucker.
I wonder if we were supposed to tell all of that. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's not much he was keeping secret or what he was.
John, if you're really upset, if you're upset about any of this, just remember we have all of like.
I think the thing's
just
final
listeners.
Season. Yeah, I don't remember for sure.
What I mean is, I didn't know if he knew that if people knew he was keeping something going. I don't know.
Oh yeah, he posted it on Discord already. Okay. The new like logo and stuff.
Oh, nice. Hey, if you guys want to see the new logo to our next Fate game, go join our Discord.
There's a fucking new logo? My God. I'm part of the Discord and I haven't even seen this.
I'm sure.
I will see if I can dig it up for you.
So I do got a couple questions here.
I defer all of them to Donnie.
Let's see. Okay, so I guess in any of the games that we play, this doesn't specifically have to be D&D, but let's be honest here, the majority of the games we play are D&D. Out of any of the games that we play in, what has been your character's, one of your character's brightest moments, like one of your favorite moments involving your character? in any of, across any of the things we do. And I guess as far as Donnie and I are concerned, I'm going to open this up to also Austin's home game.
Right.
So let's start with Devin.
Tez's black card.
God damn, that was good. That was funny. Not only was that great, but I love when you pulled out in the chat, you pulled out something about playing another card, and Austin called you out. He's like, no, you already played your black card. You don't have any more.
Y'all.
Has that episode's come out already, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Devin, why don't you go ahead, for the people who don't listen to Distractions, but maybe do listen to this, why don't you tell them, elaborate a little bit on Tez's black card moment.
Well, Tez was effectively killed by Jason, and I said, well, me and Wade were talking about it, we were doing a Halloween episode, I'm like, well, Jason just kills people randomly. I'm like, he should kill somebody meaningful. And I'm like, well, let him kill me. We just pull out a black card and save him. Who just dipped out?
Nobody, I don't think.
Donnie?
Yeah, Donnie's gone.
Oh.
I'm like, yeah, why don't we just, pull out a black card and have me kill me, and then I'll play my black card and I'll come back to life at full health, and then we could actually start the fight proper. And that's kind of exactly what happened. So I died, and then according to Equus, I had great acting because I was acting really pissed.
Yeah, you were like very quiet and you seemed super pissed.
Yeah.
I tried to play it off like I was like a little bit down because I don't like killing PCs, but
that's where me and Webby stand totally different. Oh, I think Tez is the last character of mine you would ever actually kill off because you enjoy Tez just as much as I enjoy Tez.
True statement.
I think followed closely then by Roy just because, hopefully because you like me. I don't know.
We'll see.
All right. Okay. Kill you first, but all right.
all right. So, shining moment. Let's go.
The elevator. Now's the moon.
Oh, God damn it. Let's go, Edquist.
Well, I mean, one of my favorite things is that you actually were like, oh, this seems like a good story. Let's for a trip. I thought you were just going to be like, no. This seems too complicated, and then you were like, "This sounds great, let's do it." I was like, oh, "Yes."
Well, okay. Think of it from my perspective too, though. It is known now, so it's not. I'm not spoiling anything. That Trip is a demon, so you come to me with this demon character, and you want to be a PC, and I'm spinning it into. Well, they're going into a whole arc about demons and devils, and yeah, I can work with this. This, So I mean, as of the chaos list, all of the stars just aligned in your favor.
Also, like, it was the perfect time too because we were doing all the demon stuff, and for people that don't know, Equus. He can write. He puts, like, these backstories that he did are really good. So I know that made it easier for you, Webby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if somebody gives you something like that,
I literally was just ecstatic that he wrote a backstory. like, nobody else wrote backstories, really. They were just, like, little haphazard, like, here's a thought. This is kind of vaguely what happened. And they'd send it to me in, like, a Facebook message. It's like, it's not what I want. I want an actual document so I can save this.
See, this is the thing about me and backstories. Like, I love writing backstories. But then, usually when I did time to write complicated good backstories, they never came up in chat. F you, Colin. Or they never came up in, like, play. So I just was like, you know what? What's the point?
But see, with me,
my most complex backstory is definitely Roy, because I wrote a manuscript about Roy. I did an interview with Roy.
That was insane. I will say though, like me as a DM, I enjoy having backstories from my players because it allows me to use them in the game, and it allows me to take something that is uniquely personal for you, and really use that as a hook. If I have to, or, use it as a plot device to, like,
and then make you murder it.
Well,
Sometimes they get murdered. Hooks get murdered.
I will say, by the time Devin did finally, like, kind of got me, like, a... I feel a little bad. By the time Devin really got me, like, kind of more of an in-depth, because I did have to get after him a few times, he gave me an in-depth backstory for Atticus. I killed him off. So, I mean, I guess I just added to that whole scenario. But I like the ongoing backstory. Me and Devin, at first it was Devin, I need a backstory. Yeah, I'll get you one. Devin, can you get me more than just a paragraph? It's like, yeah. But now me and Devin are kind of in sync where he gives me a thought. I help build him, build off of that with him. And then me and him kind of help, like, we co-write backstories, essentially. I really enjoy Tez's backstory and how it's somewhat intertwining with the group's, storyline. So,
yeah. I don't know how much this came out, but are you talking about because of that item?
Nope.
Okay.
Are there any episodes that haven't been released yet?
Just the second half of the last session that we did.
Okay.
So we're up to fighting the things in the when we camped at night, fighting the Necromancer when we camped. That's the last that came.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you'll start seeing more of Tez's backstory unfold. You're getting into a lot more of Tripp's emotional motivations and backstories. So, yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to the distraction story now, and I'm just really hoping that you guys can have fun with it. So.
But as I will say, because we started talking about the backgrounds that I wrote, that it's way easier for me to do it in a story that's already begun, because I have stuff to pull from, and I have ways to make my character related to events that have happened. Whereas when we just start off at the beginning, it's a little harder for me to do, because I'm just like, because I have to make it all up myself, and I have no way to tie it into, because I'm not sure what's going to happen or not. Like, it doesn't, because I've compared backstories just to ones I've made for stories that I've already started as to ones that haven't, and my ones for stories that have already started are always way better. Because I compare that, I'm like, ugh, I should have done better. But, like, it's because I don't really know what's happening or what's going to happen that I can't really, it's not easy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can build your character in the world instead of build your character and then put it in the world.
Yeah.
I remember my backstory that I sent Goose for Jax was literally an interview. And it was somebody interviewing Jax, who was sitting across, they were sitting at a table together, and Jax was just going on about how people taste so much better when they're afraid.
Oh my god. I remember reading that.
Man, it was good. I liked it. Austin, what about you? What about, like, what's one of your favorite moments that has happened with any of your characters?
I feel like every time, like, a question like this comes up, I describe that time that the Dungeons and Distractions fight where Talon runs up, cuts the horses free, smacks the horses, and then tries to ride off while Farrah and Karnar are in the back of the wagon, like, captured.
It's always horses. It's always
horses. I smacked that horse right on the ass before I knew I loved him. Anyway, but keeping that story aside, that might be one of my favorite D&D stories, but putting that one to the side, another story that moment that I really liked in a game was, I think it was the first or second episode of the pack where, spoilers for the pack, but our village was getting attacked. Our village full of werewolves was getting attacked by people that didn't like werewolves. They were killing off the werewolves. And we come back, and it's like, I think it was first it was me, like, we were split up in the village. First it was me walking up to these bad guys and, of course, talking shit. So Goose has me roll an intimidate check. And I think Jax and Alex come up from behind me, and they're saying, like, they're basically have Corbin's back, and they and Goose asks them to roll an intimidate check. And then Carissa comes from behind the people, does the same thing, talks the shit, and Goose tells her to roll, intimidate check. And then Jake fucking Lasky comes up and he says some fucking joke, and we all fucking start dying laughing. And he's like, and then he's like in character as Zixel, like, what the fuck's going on here? Da, 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 da. And Goose is like, shut up, just we're trying to do something here, like joking, like being funny. And it just, it made me fucking die, because that is the pack group mentality if I've ever fucking seen it. Like, we all get real serious. Corbin tries to go in and talk all the shit, has Jackson Alex backs him up, then Carissa comes in, and then fucking Sizzixel makes a goddamn joke in the middle of it. It's, it perfectly described the pack, and I just loved it.
I will say, early on pack, when we were still fourth edition, Jax was way different than fifth edition, because, you know, for those people who've played D&D 4E, you have powers. Mm-hmm. And you have, like, it's an insane, depending on your level, you have a lot of powers to choose from. Well, ask Austin, any character that I ever made in 4th edition always had some form of self-healing. I don't know what it was. I didn't want to rely on other people. And especially in the pack, I did not want to rely on a healer that did not heal people. So I was essentially my own healer.
Yeah. I think even Sabrina was like, I don't want to heal. I know I'm an
idiot. Yeah, she was like, she was the only healer who just did not want to heal people.
Yeah. And I was a straight Blackguard back then, so it was like, I didn't have any healing spells. Mine just did extra necrotic stuff.
Yep.
So,
let's see. Donnie, are you there?
Yeah, I think I'm good now.
All right. What's one of your favorite moments out of any of the games that you've played?
I've got two that keep coming to mind that immediately come up.
Okay.
One of them is one of my first, like, actual role playing with people, like getting into it deeply. It was in the Star Wars game when Carr was talking to Zaxel about finding balance.
Mm.
I feel like that was like the first time I just jumped in and was actually role playing, like full on. And I enjoyed it. I was proud of myself for that. And then the other one is purely mechanical. It was in the Vamp game. We just completely fucked over this boss that Rob had come up on the boat and summoned the Kraken. I think we all had a hand in. Well, I literally had a hand in her. But I think you had some kind of stare going. Austin was, I think he was fighting the Kraken in the water. I was
soothing
it.
Yeah, he was trying to calm the Kraken down.
Webby had a stare. Devin had,
I think some Devin, thing. Yeah, Devin dominated, had like frightful presence or some shit.
And then I just casually walk up behind her and put a hand in. So we literally just had her dead to rights. It was pretty funny to me. I really enjoyed that moment.
That was good. That was a moment where everyone
Aquas is like, yeah. Yeah.
You know what moment I joined? Snake to the face.
Oh, okay. That's not very high on my list.
Donnie, you know what this means.
What's that?
You gotta DM a game and kill Aquas and Webby at the same time.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I felt bad. I felt bad about Snake to the face. All
right. Okay, and Devin too. Right.
Wow.
You did feel bad about it at first initially, but you've been making jokes since then. I say get him. You can get me too.
Just kill all of us. Just TPK us.
Look, one
first episode, Donnie, make us fight kobolds and we just all die.
Yes, that would be hilarious.
All right,
if I ran a D&D game, I would put the scariest shit I can possibly put in there and just see if y'all can survive it.
Well, I was just going to say, Tarrasque in the distraction episodes now. Way to go, Austin. You just signed everybody's death notes.
I'm safe. I have a tree. I have a tree.
You can't outrun I just gotta
find a tree, then I can teleport 500 miles away. So I'm good.
I can fly. I'm just gonna fly out. Bye.
Just find me a tree.
Peace.
I'll
turn into a bird.
Far, far away.
I will say, I have two moments that really stand out to me. One of which was before I was even a member of the podcasts. It was back when I was a guest on Distractions. So Colin was DMing, and it was the episode where I want to say Devin was there too. And we were essentially hired to kidnap Iroh.
Mm.
And he gave us a little bit of prep time. He told us that, you know, the players are going to be coming, so you guys can prep some stuff. So I prepped a glyph of an explosion glyph, essentially. And I put it in a note and sprayed it with woman's perfume. And I tacked it to the wall, knowing that Talon would go and investigate it because it smelled like a pretty girl. And it worked flawlessly. He immediately went over, opened it up, read it. It blew up in his face. And then I proceeded to kill Zidane. And he's hated that character that I played in that game ever since.
I almost killed him.
True.
That time we met back up with him.
Yep. You did technically get him back a little bit in that same game. You did some sort of chaos shit.
Yeah, I dropped you blew up a note. I dropped a fucking meteor on you.
In anything involving chaos, I swear. They're addicted to it, and I don't know why.
Oh, Devin, you don't even.
No, The distractions group. The distractions group. Nothing compared to that game.
No. I'm sure it's Austin. Austin, that and skill check challenges. Those two things, right there.
Yeah, skill check things.
The chaos is not me. It's my brother.
Yeah.
I just gave him the opportunity.
AKA Talon's twin.
Yeah.
I will say though,
Jesus.
One of my other favorite moments.
All this cancer.
One of my other favorite moments. It was actually in Austin's home game. So I play a little tiny mouse. I play a mouse folk, and I'm a bard.
I know what this is gonna be.
And we were doing some fight, and there was one of the bosses, I guess. I don't know. Was it Gen Con?
Yeah.
And one of the bosses was kind of hovering in the air. Because he had wings or he was flying. I don't know what the fuck. But
he had wings, but he wasn't flapping them, I think.
Yeah, but he wasn't on the ground where other people could get at him. And I don't think Austin had any intention of us actually fighting that guy or doing anything really to that guy. He was just supposed to be there to be imposing. So I dimension doored 500 feet above the guy. And then I spent an entire turn falling, and I was still above him. And then my next turn around, I polymorphed myself into a T-Rex and a fucking pile-drived myself on top of him into the ground. I have a lot of fun with dimension door and polymorph combos.
Yeah,
like I dimension doored into that one demon thing. And then I spent a round in his stomach, survived all the damage, and then I polymorphed into a T-Rex and bursted through his chest like an alien. So.
Oh, my God.
I probably shouldn't be allowed to polymorph myself anymore.
It's not even really just polymorph is fucking crazy, but bards in general are fucking nasty. They're DM's bane for sure.
Yeah.
Bards and rogues, I'd say.
I mean, just look at my bard and another thing. I just talk weather in the submission.
That is so true. As a DM, I'd have to say, out of everyone that I ever DM'd, Devin makes me sigh and hang my head the most. Both in disappointment in my DMing, but pride in my players.
Yeah. Like, approval.
They fought their very first boss fight. They were going to fight a manticore. And between Devin, Austin, and Rob wanted to attack it, but Devin, Austin, and Ross, they ended up charming this manticore into being a pet. And then they left the city. Devin met some bandits. Told one of them, essentially shamed one of them into changing his lifestyle.
Oh, shit.
And they have not figured out, they have not heard what happened to that guy yet. Moved on to the next boss fight where you fought two guys in a hallway. Pretty powerful dudes. Devin proceeded to charm one of them and then convince him to work for them as a bouncer. Yeah. It's like, motherfuck. Like, I could easily say, no, it just doesn't work on this guy. But Devin, legit, these people crit rolls when it's the least likely.
Yeah.
And I want to reward you guys for, you know, rolling so well. But I am going to say that, like, if you guys come across like a beholder or something and you try this, it's probably not going to work, guys.
What if it's Xanthar, though?
That probably still won't work.
Oh, okay.
We'll
just have to kill him, then.
So I got two questions off of the Facebook chat, one of which is from Austin, so we'll start with his.
Okay.
What's your guys' favorite homebrew D&D rule? Let's start with Devin, if there are any, if you have any.
Favorite homebrew D&D rule?
Yeah.
Honestly, looking at just 5th edition, it's probably flanking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's a solid fucking pick.
Mm-hmm. Let's go, Edquist.
Well, my instinct is to say demon, but I really like the chaos list.
Oh,
10,000.
Yep. Fair. Devin's just sighing over there, shaking his head at all over everybody.
I just remembered too that we had to roll one, and we still don't know what happened.
True statement.
Maybe people listening exclusive.
Nope, because there's three out of the four people on this podcast are in that.
We'll not listen. Look,
nope.
I'm muted.
No, you're muted. That doesn't make you deaf.
I'm going to take a guess. If this isn't on the list, you can just add it to the list, Webby, and make it one of these. Just add it to the list. Somewhere in the world, a random town all become level 20 adventurers.
Holy
shit. That's a good one. I'm right now and down.
Oh, what if it's
10,001?
What if it's the bad boys? What if it's the bad boys that we don't like?
Then they're all level 20 adventurers.
We better sidestep them for as long as we can.
You know, I'm not going to lie. The first time you said that, Devin, I instantly thought Diablo, and I was like, oh, level 20, that's not that high. And then I'm like, oh, D&D, that's max level shit.
our group would gank one level 20 for sure.
No,
we'd mark a level 20.
It depends. It depends. It depends.
It depends.
It depends
on,
the gear,
on
to be honest,
it depends on their build and what they have for gear. Yeah,
it depends on their gear. Because like some level 20 gear is just there's just I win buttons if you don't have like legendary resistance.
Are we 13 or 14?
I think you guys are technically. I want to say 14, but you might be 13s.
I'd be confident enough that, Webby, if you built a level 20 character straight out of the book and put it against our party, that we would beat it.
Like nothing homebrewed, just straight out of the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Because I know in the home game, I've put y'all up against at least, I think the highest I've ever done was like a 23.
I mean, technically.
But that's a challenge rating.
Technically, Shaw is level 20.
He did fuck me up really quick.
That's a very big technicality, though.
We're level 13. I just checked.
Okay. Because Shaw is also dual class, which is not technically a thing in 5th edition.
So is he dual class level 20, or is it like level 10?
No,
he's dual class level 20. So he's effectively two level
40.
He is two level 20s.
Hmm. That's nasty.
I mean, that doesn't ramp up his power to be any like he like his fire.
It depends the classes he is, because you can use that.
Right, but I mean, okay, but fair, but like, okay, so you guys definitely know he's a spellcaster. That doesn't mean that he has, you know, 18th level spells. You know, that's not how that works. His fireball is just a fireball. He can just cast it as a higher.
But
level.
He also could be a 20th level fighter. So the best way to fight him is not at close range.
Yeah.
Fair point. So I mean, do you guys want insight on this character? I will tell you what he is dual classed.
I mean, you don't have to. I'm fine.
Yeah, you don't have to, but there's like I won't remember it enough to use it against you, probably.
So Devin says I don't have to. Austin says he doesn't. He's not going to remember you regardless. So I will leave this up to Edquist.
I went the wrong way.
I was going to say if you tell us, I will definitely remember and try to use it against you. But
That's all three grounds. It does come to Donnie.
So Donnie, do you want to know what?
If you tell me, I will absolutely use it against you.
You've never even met this guy.
Have I really not?
I don't think so.
I've never met him personally. I've heard of the man.
No. Were you in the vamp game? I don't think you were.
I'll kill him.
No, he wasn't in that one.
Then no.
I've met two people that know him.
That's true. Well, I mean, no, I won't tell you guys then. It'll be my little secret.
Have you met two people that know?
Yeah.
You guys can guess. You guys can just, as you guys think about it, you guys can guess. I'll tell you.
I think you're thinking about Bale. Yeah, I think you're thinking about Bale.
No. In the vamp game, in our goal game specifically, we met two people that knew him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Devin and Goose's character.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So.
So I know firsthand what a dick he can be? Call him a dick?
I mean, he has potential. I mean.
I don't know if he would have ever been. Because that Shaw is essentially a different version. Like, it is the same, I guess, but he
is built relatively the same.
But he's not. Does he have the same mindset?
The one that they met in modern New York?
Yeah, versus the one in Distractions.
Yes, yeah. Same mindset.
But does that have the same one as the original Vamp game?
No.
Or that's because he's changed. Yes. All this has happened. Yes. After. Yes.
Okay. Well, look, I said it to be funny when I said I'll use it against you. I don't want to ever run into him. Let's just put it that way. In any game. I don't want to run into him. He sounds like he's the mage version of Abraham. And I don't think I want to run into that.
Oh, that'd be a good fight. Abraham versus Shaw.
Don't mages typically have a big advantage?
Typically.
Unless your vampire is magish.
True.
Like, I'm assuming Abraham has so many... Also, Abraham knows Shaw, but...
Yes.
I assume that Abraham has a lot of thaumaturgy paths.
Yes. Let me see. Everybody answered that question, right? No, they didn't. Donnie.
Yo.
What's your favorite homebrewed D&D rule?
It would have probably been the 10,000 thing outside of the home game. But I'm gonna count that one out and say dual wielding shields.
That is nice.
Yeah, fair. We actually did work on that. Mine is something that I've kind of kicked around, and it was an idea that I had read online, and I wrote it down, but it has not been enacted in any of the games that we play yet. And that's if you drink two potions within a relatively close time frame. So, like, say you take a potion of fire breathing and then a potion of hill drying strength, in the same turn or the turn right after, there may be adverse side effects to that.
I like it.
So, that's probably one of my more interesting ones that I liked. I also really like the hardcore death saving throw homebrew rule, where death saves, essentially, you have to beat a 15 and not a 10. So,
On that note, I forgot we also have a home rule that I like. It's where if you crit fail, you die outright on a death save. I like that rule.
Yeah, I know, but I think that was a mistake. I don't know if it's an actual rule. I think I just fucked up.
Oh, I thought we were doing a homebrew on that. I thought you said that that sounded right.
It like, did sound right at the time, but I know that I don't know. I don't remember what happened.
If on the other end of that, if I would have crit 20, I feel like you would have let me get up.
You would have popped up with one hit point, but I think that's in the book.
Oh.
I think. Whereas no. The crit one on death saves, what does that give you, two fails?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you would have had one more.
Oh.
Had you die outright, which wow. That was my fault.
Well, I honestly liked the rule, so I wouldn't have even argued, and I lost a character to it, so.
Yeah. True.
Let's see. Did everybody answer the D&D homebrew one?
Yep. Think so.
I didn't, but it would probably be chaos also.
Yeah.
But I'll just give like an honorable mention. It's not, I guess it's not really a rule, but it's like my, I don't know. I'm just going to stick with chaos.
Okay.
Chaos has gotten me a lot of positive things. You see, you guys kind of bag on us for using this chaos list, but the bad stuff doesn't happen to us all the time. Like me and my brother,
I'd rather have equal luck across the board than deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, I get that it fucks everything up.
Estatus's childhood is completely gone.
Right. That's nothing to do with me though. it's had good effects for like me so far. I mean, there was a while that it was bad, I guess.
Didn't you shrink and have three arms for a while?
Yeah, that did happen, but now I can.
He can essentially shapeshift.
Yeah, I know, but that's because you used genie magic to do it. Otherwise, you would have been stuck with that.
And his intelligence is still pretty high, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Well, in fifth edition, it was up higher, but I think what happened when we switched to fourth, I rerolled my stats and my intelligence was really low. So even with the +5, it still only gave me like a 12 or 13.
Oh.
But it's a positive versus rolling into negative. So
I will say, as far as the home game goes, I think chaos magic will eventually be what causes Thorn to snap.
I think it's going to end up killing a player.
That's what's going to cause Thorn to snap.
And I feel like it might actually be me, because I always tend to be in the blast radius.
Mm-hmm. It already has killed a player, and it changed stuff for a little bit.
Yeah, and it was Edquist, and it was technically Edquist who did it.
Yeah,
I did.
Yo, you're gonna shoot an arrow at me? I'm a monk, bitch. I'm just gonna catch that and throw it back at you.
Yeah,
that was great. That was a pretty good.
Yeah,
like some somatic. That would have been nice. Cinematic, not somatic.
Alright. If you guys could play a D&D campaign with any three other people in the world, who would they be, and who would you have DM it? Start with Devin.
Ooh, let me get a pencil.
Three people in the world?
Yeah, any three people in the world. So it would be you, three other players, and then who would you choose to DM it?
Okay. I'm going to say Patrick Webster. Sasha Gray.
Yes!
I got you. Let's do Asa, Akira, and then Matt Mercer.
And then who's going to... Oh, okay. DM'd by Matt Mercer. Whew, man. All I gotta say is I'm glad I'm part of this game. Shit. Okay. I don't even know where to go from there. Sasha Gray. Equist. Who would be in your...
I already got mine. It's the vamp game.
Aww.
Hey. It's all you guys.
Mother,
you would DM it? Oh no, Webby would DM it.
Yeah.
See, I wish I could take the vamp game. I'm actually kind of with Rob on a more realistic level. Take the people who play the vamp game and just play a D&D game. I think that'll be interesting. And then me and Donnie are going to set hard guidelines from the beginning on what, like, if he's melee, I'm going to be a spellcaster.
Yeah, just so you guys are not the same fucking character. Listen, okay, real talk here for a minute. Do you know, all listeners out there, and Austin and Edquist, do you guys know how often Donnie will message me throughout the week or whatever with an idea for his vamp character? And I will just reply with an LOL, and then he instantly replies with, Devin already has this, doesn't he? It's like, yeah.
Yes. I have been there with you when this happened.
I will say this. I will say this. Webby, you can be the factor of this one. I still have my one idea up my sleeve that you know about that I'm working on currently with you that he's yet to take. Not like in a negative way, but it's yet to cross his mind, right?
Give it time.
It will. Of course it will.
I just don't think Diane knows this is possible. I mean, because it's not really possible. We're just making it work. I don't know. It's possible. Who knows? I love you, Donnie.
We're the same person.
We are.
So I love myself.
Yep. All right, Austin, who would your group be and who would your DM be?
I'm taking the caveat that we're not picking distractions media people in mind, because I would bring people with me just so they would get the experience. Like if Matt Mercer was going to DM me, of course I would bring you, Webby, if I could. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
But
see, I don't even think Devin was thinking about that. He was just like, I know I'm going to pick Sasha Gray to be in this group, so I want Webby to be there.
No, I'm not saying he was thinking about that, but like that's the first thing that was coming to my mind. Like if Matt Mercer's DM, I'd want to have, you know, my RPG partner in crime there with me. But
I brought my RPG partner in crime with me.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, we've all established I love thieves. Okay,
you're my partner in crime. I mean, Webby. To be fair, I think all my best characters, you're involved. You have a hand in all my best characters. One way or another. I mean, hell, our first characters got married. Or no, they didn't get married. They're just in love with each other.
Who? Wait.
The kid in .
Yeah, remember? I killed Austin. I killed your brother, and we fell apart.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, finally, some fucker killed this guy.
Wasn't that Chaos Potion?
It was.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah.
See, it's done good things for y'all.
That was the one where Skarnar got petrified and I kicked his ass down a hole. Oh, shit.
That was,
anyway.
That was, speaking of who we were talking about earlier, that is for that was for that game, wasn't it?
Yep.
Who ended up winning?
I was one of them, because I was in on the I was in on the game.
You, Anthony, Colin.
I don't remember who else.
Devin, did you play?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh. Devin, and there was one more.
And what, the Jason game?
Yeah,
I was there. That was that's where I made my half-orc charger that just did like stupid amounts of damage in 4E.
Was the was it like Slayer or whatever was under the class name, like in the builder? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I know he was a berserker, but he was all about charging.
Yeah,
no, that's he was Slayer. Yeah, he was Slayer.
I made an orc like that, and Colin put us up against. It had to be 100 different enemies, and there was 5 of us in 4th edition, and I ended up like last until the very end. That was the only character that I had that lived that Colin DM'd besides Talon. I don't know what happened to him. His name was Shamash.
Shamash. Yeah. Oh, dude, there's another Shamash. That's the fucking, isn't that what I named the dragon board in the Detractions game?
Yep. Is it?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I didn't steal your name, I swear. I got it off a random name generator.
I might have too. Who knows? So. I don't know. But back to my picks. Matt Mercer with DM. This is the hardest thing I got to think of because I'm only thinking of podcasts. I'd probably want to play with Rodrigo Lopez, who is the DM for Critical Hit. Uh, I think Tim Lanning would be really fun to play with from Drunks and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one would be a toss-up between Sam Riegel and Laura Bailey.
Hmm. Laura Bailey.
And honorable mention is going to be Will Friedle.
Oh, Eric.
Mm-hmm. All of them can be found on the Critical Role podcast.
So, Edquist, would you like to change yours, or are you going to stick with the Vamp group?
I mean, the Vamp group is my real answer, but if I'm going with, like, just celebrities, I would probably go with Will Wheaton to DM, and then I'd probably have Felicia Day. And then, I don't know. You know what, I'd probably have the Supernatural guys, just all the three of them, just because they're so hilarious together. Misha Collins and Jensen Ackles, and
that would be awesome.
All right.
They played Indy?
I think Misha does. I don't know about the.
They do now.
Does
yeah.
Will Wheaton's he DMs the Penny Arcade stuff, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was just wondering if you picked them because you had heard them play or something.
See, he'd be a great DM because you know he's always going to crit fail everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't let him touch your dice.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen him play D&D, but I watched his where he played board games all the time, and I don't know. Seems like he'd be good at it.
I know him and Felicia Day both have guest starred on Critical Role in the first campaign.
Mm.
Nice picks.
All right, Donnie, what about you?
I did a little extra. I even picked what they were going to play.
Oh, fuck.
Ooh.
But first of all, I would like to say that if someone were to ask me who I wanted to play D&D with, I would literally list the entire Vamp crew to play with, including Webby and Rob as players. But with the celebrity thing.
Everybody.
With the celebrity thing, as a DM, I would want Morgan Freeman.
Oh. All
right.
My first player I would pick is Vin Diesel playing any kind of fighter. Robin Williams playing me and Austin's Goblin idea, so playing multiple characters.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ryan Reynolds plays Deadpool that's aware that he's playing D&D.
What would you play?
Probably a wizard. We know me.
He didn't think about his class.
I was more into celebrities.
Yeah, you have rogues, fighters, Deadpool.
But Vin Diesel and Robin Williams actually played D&D. I don't know how much, but they've actually played.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Baker. I was gonna say I think Ryan would be awesome. I'm taking out Jared Padalecki and putting in Ryan Reynolds.
I can literally picture Robin Williams going back and forth with voices playing goblins though. Like to me that would be like gold.
One Miss Doubtfire.
Oh gosh.
The guy from Flubber.
Genie has to be in there.
Oh, the genie.
Take genie out the has to.
What was I just saying? I had something to tell. I don't know. Fuck it. Oh, Joe. Y'all know who Joe. What is his name? Joe Manganiello?
Yep.
Manganiello?
Yeah.
So, this is. I know. I've heard about like Vin Diesel playing D&D too, but. He kind of put out a challenge to Vin Diesel because somebody was interviewing him one time and they were like, so who do you play with that's in the industry? Blah, blah, blah. And then that one of the names they said was Vin Diesel. And he says, I don't know if Vin Diesel plays. And then somebody said, he said he does. And then Joe Manganiello looked like, does he? Like, cause he's never seen him.
I can tell you this, that Vin Diesel has played D&D.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Whether or not he does on the regular, I don't know.
Yeah, I've never listened to it.
As far as I understand, a lot of the people in LA, a lot of celebrities that play D&D all play together or like they're all within like the same kind of group. And so I took it as him like issuing a challenge to Vin Diesel to play or something like that. Be like, if you're into play with the cool kids, kind of
right
is what I took as. But yeah. He's cool too, so. Joe Manganiello is Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You guys ever, whenever you're on the phone, walk around pacing when you talk?
No. Yes, every time. Every time I'm on the phone.
I don't.
Doing it. Doing it now.
I don't really care.
Doesn't
for
he also play something else?
Vin Diesel?
No, Joe.
Devin is True Blood? Yeah, Devin, isn't he in True Blood?
Yeah, he was the werewolf in True Blood, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
I think so.
Okay. He was also in one of the greatest movies ever. Right, Devin?
Yep.
Right? Fucking Rampage?
Oh, God.
Almost like Terry Crews.
I fucking love Rampage.
Terry Crews does play D&D. I hear.
Well, he's on Celebrity D&D. How do you pronounce that?
So, I will say...
God damn it, Donnie. Now I keep picturing, like... scenes from our show being read by Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
She handed the potion to Talon and said, "This will keep your dick from falling off."
Have you seen him do interviews where they just have him say the stupidest shit, like ingredient lists off the back of a box or something?
Yeah.
I think he would be a great, like, I was thinking more voices, like what voices were good for D&D, and that's just the four iconic ones I could think of.
Matt Mercer, hands down, is the best voice of D&D, in my opinion.
I will say for
Morgan my... Morgan Freeman is God, so...
For my D&D game, I would choose Matt Mercer as a player.
Mm.
Felicia Day. It would be DM'd by Deborah Ann Woll, who is Karen from the Daredevil show.
Okay.
Plug for her. She has a D&D show coming out called Relics and Rarities on Geek and Sundry.
You cut out on Mother, the title.
Whatever. It's going to be on my end. Maybe not on yours. So.
Oh, okay. I wanted to know.
Relics and Rarities.
I already knew.
Oh, all right. Well, fuck yourself then, Austin. And... here we go. My third player that I would choose for this epic D&D group. Number one super fan, Cheeky.
Oh, ha. Nice.
Nice.
There you go.
Did anybody else feel like they were playing D&D on the True Blood set?
One more, I have one change.
Cheeky was playing a very good dwarf.
I'm here for Betty White.
Ooh, I like your game even more now. I want to see Betty White play like a rogue.
Yeah, like a real salty rogue.
Yeah. Just all about fucking ganking people. All right.
Morgan Freeman needs to play a dragon in a game.
Speaking of Cheeky, not to change the subject here, she did write the second question that we got on the Facebook posts from last week. As far as SU goes, which episodes have been your favorite to record? Devin.
As far as SU, which is the hot sauce challenge.
Yeah, that was good. Good God. That was good. Equist.
I did not like the hot sauce challenge. One of my favorites was the Weird Islands one, just because some of them were so fucking crazy.
Yeah, that was good. Was that? Did we squeeze all those into one episode, or was that broken down into two?
No, it was all one.
It was all one.
Yeah.
All right. Austin?
Hot sauce, for sure.
God damn it. Donnie, you haven't been on many of these, but have there been any episodes that you've been on that you've really enjoyed?
All of them.
All of them. All right, that's a good answer.
It's always a good time shooting the shit.
I'll say...
Invite me back. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're always welcome on here, man. I will say some of mine's kind of a tie. I really enjoy the episodes that we do mainly for the live streams where we can interact with the audience and the listeners. Those are always really fun for me. If you're talking about just general us sitting down recording episodes, I really enjoyed the top five lists that we did.
Mm-hmm.
So Especially when we talked about on the first one our top five favorite porn stars, and Austin just rattled them off, and he's like, "Don't tell my mom." I'm like, "Oh, so you're telling me to tag your mom on Facebook with this when this pumps out? Is that what you said?" So yeah,
Bonnie's met my mom. I don't know how she would react to that.
I think that it could go one of two extreme ways on this. She could either not give a fuck or give a fuck, and it would be bad.
Yeah.
So Donnie, either way, next time you see Austin's mom, just tell her to listen to Simply Unprofessional.
You will never hear me say the word porn to his mom ever.
You don't have to mention porn.
Tell her to listen to
Simply Unprofessional. Yeah.
As entertaining as that would be, I would never do that to him.
Well, I don't know. Say it to my mom, like, more than he wouldn't do it to me. I think my mom is very, very intimidating.
Yeah, a little bit.
Really? I don't think I'd be intimidated by your mom.
Well,
I honestly think your mom would probably love me.
She doesn't love anybody. Anyway.
Not even me.
So you're telling me to tag your mom in this episode of Simply Unprofessional?
This one, if you tag her in this, she'd be like, "Well, listen to what he says. Where you at? What are you tagging for? That's what he
Damn it, Austin! Your friend Webby's pretty dense. You had to fucking tell him twice.
I do agree that she would like completely love you, but
I have a thing with moms. All moms love me. I'm a very, very polite individual in person.
If you go back and listen to that top five, I got a thing with moms too.
That's true.
I can't believe I just said that within the same paragraph. I'm talking about my own mom.
Yep.
This episode has become worse.
Let's restart. In the same, we'll say 3-minute block of time, we've talked about porn, your infatuation with mom porn, and your mom.
Guys,
all in 3 minutes.
We've also mentioned the horse fucking.
Yeah.
Man, I have a lot of shit. Maybe I should shut my fucking mouth.
it's gonna be real interesting when I sit down and interview you, Austin. We're gonna dive deep into what traumatic childhood you must have had.
I'm gonna die deep.
The time you got lost at the Derby.
Lost or found?
Found myself.
Oh, jeez.
I picture question number one. So, Austin, why do you think your mom's so horrible that she would hate me?
Hashtag Austin's mom.
Oh, man. She follows hashtags, too. She'll find it. Don't do it.
Your mom that she's looking up on Twitter hashtag Austin's mom.
Let me tell you, her nickname or her sign, I don't want to give it away. She don't care. She wants followers.
Does she? I'll go follow her right now.
Her name on... No. People will fucking do the horse shit, and I can't add it to it. I'm sorry, guys. I can't.
I think you're making the right decision.
Honestly, yeah. Austin, I think the only person on here who would go and probably do some sort of horse joke to your mom that listens to this show, I'm sorry... Probably Kurt.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, me too. And that's the one I think. But like, I'll just say this: my mom's Twitter handle is not the same, but it's derived from 2 Chainz. So 2 Chainz the rapper. It's derived from his name.
Your mom listens to rap?
Yeah, she listens to everything. From old hair metal bands all the way to Drake. Like
80s hair metal?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm legit going to message your mom on Facebook, and I'm just going to start quoting like Poison songs.
Well.
Like, your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll.
So probably
that was covered by poison for those of you who are gonna fucking call me out on that bullshit. Okay.
She'll probably tell you the next lyric and then be like, "Who the fuck are you? Why are you?" She knows you. Like, she knows who Webby is, but I don't know if she knows you. Like, if you were the writer, I don't know if that makes sense.
We're about to find out because I'm about to send your mom a friend request on Facebook.
I do guarantee, though, that after this episode comes out, there is going to be a hashtag Austin from
her. Oh, my God.
There's, like, no way.
Yeah. For sure. I'm going to have to tell her and warn her.
Shit. All right.
Goddamn, fucked up. I'm going to put my life on the internet. Oh, God.
Well, we are hitting that 1.5 hour mark, guys. So I think that's what we're pretty much going to call it. This is just kind of this. This has been the literal beginning essence of what SU was supposed to be. Just us getting on to call, shooting the shit, laughing, joking, and having a fun time. For the listeners out there, I have tossed out the idea, at least with these gentlemen. No one else in Distractions yet knows. I'm going to make the announcement right now. We are going to be getting some, I guess, bonus episodes recorded in the near future. So that you guys can get to know us a little bit better on a more personal level. It's just going to be essentially one-on-one sit-downs and interviewing various members of Distractions Media. So... yeah, and I hope you all listen and enjoy those episodes as well.
And they can submit questions. Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah, if you guys have questions for any specific Distractions Media member, or if you have a general question that you'd like all of us to answer, like individually, feel free, submit those questions. You guys can send them to the Simply Unprofessional Facebook page. You can message us on there. I'll get them. You can email them. Although, everybody gets all like offended about email, apparently, nowadays. Like, they think it's such an archaic form of communication.
It's like,
I'm not asking you to write a fucking letter and stick a stamp to it, assholes, okay? I'm asking you to electronically send me mail. Right, Devin?
Yeah.
Yep. I hate you so much right now. Words cannot describe.
I love you. I love you, David.
I hate you.
if you are on the Distractions Discord, you can also put your questions there, and I will keep a record and compile them.
That would be great. Yeah, feel free to do that.
Are we doing Ross? Ross is first, right?
Ross is going to be our first interview. Yes.
So,
and that interview, for those of you who want to listen, that interview will be done by Austin. I will be on the call, but me and Austin, we're going to kind of split the interview processes up between us. So some of these episodes, you won't hear much from me. I might chime in here or there. I'll definitely do the intro and essentially the outro. But during Austin's interviews, unless he needs me to step in for something... it's going to be all him.
Yeah, and I need you all right now. Send me questions to help me out. So Ross is big. He does the music for Simply Unprofessional. He does the music for the Vamp game, right?
Yep.
The original Vamp game?
Yep.
Is there anymore?
He did one of our live stream Christmas themes. He does a lot of musical stuff for us. He's been my best friend since fucking fifth grade. I've known him since fifth grade. There's a question you can ask him, honestly. Everybody always asks because, you know, when you're in school, you meet your friends just in school. Like, you have class together, you're sitting next to each other, blah, blah, blah. The way me and Ross met and became friends was like out of a fucking Lifetime fucking movie. So there you go. Feel free to write that down and inquire. Ask Ross how him and I really met.
Man, you guys are going to have to listen to the episode to find out.
Yep.
It's an exclusive.
Ross was getting bullied at school. Webby stepped up, kicked that bully right in the nuts.
Broke his knee. Yeah, friends for life.
I was gonna say I haven't heard Webby talk about breaking kneecaps for a while.
I haven't needed to. I've had a different outlet for my anger recently. So.
Overwatch?
No. No. But anyway, so that's what you guys can be. That's what you guys can look forward to. And those aren't going to be replacing the SU episodes every week. Those are going to be in addition to the SU episodes. I'll probably end up releasing those sometime midweek once me and Austin get a couple of them, you know, backed up and backlogged. I'll start releasing them like every other Wednesday or something. It probably won't be an every week thing. So, yeah. Anyway, so with that being said, Devin, where can people find you on the internet?
You guys can find me on the Twitters at DMP_Pookie and on Twitch at PookieKilledMe.
Donnie, where can people find you on the internet?
They still can't. They still can't.
I bet you they can once I tell them your Facebook account.
Oh, motherfuck.
He got an Instagram that he never updates.
That too. And I have a Twitter that I don't think I've looked at in 10 years. But hey, you find me on Twitter, guys. Go ahead.
DBronner21.
Probably something with 21 and DBronner in it. That's typically what it is.
That's a stripper account?
I challenge you guys to find me and have me find you on Twitters.
That's a
stripper account, guys. Don't let them fool you.
Do you want to give out your BattleNet name? That way people can just join your games because you fucking leave them open to the public all the time.
I don't know what you just said. I think you said I leave it open to public?
Yeah.
No, you fuck the public all the time is what I thought.
Yes, listen. Find me online, guys. I fuck the public.
Edquist, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitter at Confessor_X, and you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/ConfessorX.
And Austin, where can people find you?
You guys can't find me on any more internet anymore after episode, but if you want to see my past shenanigans, you can look at it. CZF3.
And as always, guys, you guys can follow me on Twitter at JaxForestWalker, all one word, on Twitch at DMWebby, on Instagram at pause for dramatic effect, David. It's 52 something or other.
Webster 52.
Okay, I thought it was 52 something.
JaxForestWalker, all one word.
52.
And you guys can find me on my secondary Twitter account. Austin's mom has got it going on.
Got it going on.
So until next time, guys, thank you for listening. And as always, fuck Booster Gold. Now the outro.
Fuck the other person we said we were going to say, and I forgot.
Fuck the Booster Gold.
Fuck the Booster Gold.
Booster punta, fuck el fucko.
Yo tengo fiesta con putas, muchas putas.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Gracias.
It's the only thing I know how to say in Spanish.
Misa Jar Jar Binks.
No, you're
the
fired.
Greatest villain of all times.
It's a fucking Jar Jar, fucking Emperor Palpatine.